The following program was previously recorded and is sponsored by Danny Yamashiro Ministries. This is 99.5 The Word.
Aloha and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose, offering perspectives of hope through Jesus Christ. How does God take a boy from the gang capital of the world to become a player for the NFL, a businessman and pastor? Well, this is the story of Cedric Brown, a story of athletics, faith, and decisions that display the merciful power and grace of God. We pause here at the beginning of our show, as we typically do, to remind you that the Good Life Radio program, well, we're here with you to lead you closer and closer to Jesus Christ. Dear friend, no matter what you're going through, what you're facing right now, however tough things might seem to be, to remind you that there is always hope in Jesus. In Jesus, who loves you so much, He died on the cross for your sins. He shed His precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, He rose again from the grave. And today, the living Christ, the resurrected Christ, reaches out to you with arms of love and grace. But here's the question. Will you turn to Jesus? Will you repent of your sins? Will you turn from your way and turn to God's way? That's our prayer. That's our hope. That is the power of the life-changing work that God has done in the life of Cedric Brown. Cedric Brown is the founding pastor of Commitment Community Church in Lindenwold, New Jersey. He graduated from Washington State University, where he starred as a defensive back while majoring in hotel and restaurant management. He played for the legendary coach, Buddy Ryan, of the Philadelphia Eagles. He also earned a bachelor's from Philadelphia Biblical University and a master's and doctorate from Slidell Baptist Seminary. He's married to Lisa. They have 3 children, Joshua, Jessica, and Jamie. Cedric, welcome. Welcome to our show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Danny.
So,
and I have to add, listen, I have to add proudly, I'm now a first-time grandpa.
Oh. Okay, so this is Joshua's?
Yeah,
Joshua and
Joshua
his wife?
The second. Yeah, Joshua the second.
Okay, yes. Joshua the second.
So that is hot off the press. I failed to tell you that.
Oh man, I can feel the exuberance.
Yes, it's exciting.
You can't.
Hold I'm it sorry back. To cut
no,
you
no,
off.
No, man, you can't hold it back, Cedric. You can't hold back. You have to share that.
Yeah.
It's part of the ethos of the moment. So thank you for sharing the blessing of God. Well, on that, what's changed? How does it change the way you perceive life, fatherhood, parenting? Tell us.
Well, that's a good question because, you know, once I came to know Christ and just fell in love with Jesus, one of my simple prayers has always been is that Father, let my children and my children's children love you more than I could ever love you. And, you know, so now I'm starting to see that materialize, is that, okay, God, here's now my grandson, whom I can now, you know, just live and also, Lord willing, lead to Jesus as well. So that's a privilege, and it's a prayer being manifested right before me, I think. And it's wonderful to see now how my son is responding to his son. And one of the wonderful blessings from that has already been my son having a more refined perspective of life, and also a greater appreciation of fatherhood, which is awesome. Yeah.
You're already seeing the change in him.
He literally said to me, brother, he said, I was just talking to Mary, and I had to ask you and mom to forgive me. He says, because this is day three after his son came home. He says, only been 3 days. He says, but I can't imagine the sacrifices and everything you all gave for us, and we didn't appreciate it. Mm. Yeah. So that was profound. So, of course, as a father, I try my best to just sit and listen and take it all in and not add any amens to that. Yeah, but it was a sweet moment.
The wisdom that you exude, even in those moments, not so much what we say, but what we don't say, and when we don't say certain things, to just let it be, let it happen. You talk about growing up or raising Joshua, and Joshua reflecting back on how you raised him. Let's go back to where you were raised. Mm-hmm. Where was that? When we talk about gang capital of the world, take us deeper, explain where and what that was like.
Yeah, so that's that's Compton, California. And in Compton, there was a lot of gang activity, you know, a lot of, I would say at that moment, it was quite natural to me. And I think it's like anyone, when you grow up in a particular environment, it seems natural, it seems normal, and not until you come out of it, then you realize, oh, that was pretty abnormal, you know, what I was experiencing. I mean, just the simplicity of things like in junior high school in California at that time, we didn't have lockers, we had no place to put our books, you know, between classes or anything like that. We got to high school, the lockers were boarded up because of crime, you know, because of potentially someone bringing a weapon on campus and things like that. And that, at that time, you're talking about the, you know, 79, 80-ish. We, on our high school campus, we had armed security guards. So it was normal, but quite abnormal. Again, as I step back and talk more about it, and even things like you having to come in before the street lights come on, not because, you know, it was time to come in the house on a hot summer night, but it's because of danger, you know, not knowing if a stray bullet had your name on it and things like that, because of drive-by shootings that would occur and so forth. So it was what I deemed normal was quite abnormal, even to the point, and I forget, the last night I was out, a couple of friends of mine, we were just having a good time, and before I left to go to Washington State University, we hear this whistling sound, and it's ding, and it was hitting the car, and we realized that we were actually being shot at, or at least in some kind of crossfire. And this was my last night celebrating with some friends and heading to Washington State. So that was kind of, again, the unfortunate environment that I experienced and navigating through. And not to mention a lot of my friends, unfortunately, just got caught up in drugs and gangs and violence and end up dead or are on drugs or in jail or in prison, unfortunately.
Growing up in that environment, Cedric, Mm-hmm. Who would you say influenced you most there in your growing up years?
Good question. Well, my father, thank God, he was a man of God. He was a solid man and male figure. And I was a baby of 8 kids. So there was 3 brothers who really weren't on my mind at that time, reflecting that, weren't the most ideal role models. I had 4 older sisters who I think also helped in helping me navigate life. But from a male figure in particular that I can look at and say, there is a man that I can look at and desire to emulate. And he was a man of, you know, integrity and a man that I should try my best to emulate. It was my father. But then I had some wonderful coaches in my life and that were, if you would, fathers away from home, that that if we got out of line, in which some of us did and tried, of course, being teenagers, they at that time had the freedom of even executing some corporal discipline if necessary. If not, they disciplined us on the football field or on around the track. So, yeah. So, Coach Ted Williams was one of my coaches. Coach Alvin Allen, and men like that were Coach Seymour. He was my track coach. Those 3 in particular of coaches come to mind immediately that really were men that God used in my formative years. Just discipline, brother. Just, I mean, the simplicity of getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning during summer vacation to be at the field at 6:30. Think about that in the summertime. and you dare not be late, you know, and there was a healthy fear, if you would, and respect that we have for these men. I mean, even so, like my position coach, Coach Al, it sounds simple, but he was just trying to instill discipline in us. He wouldn't allow us to touch the football until he arrived on the field. Now, again, you say, wait a minute, football practice, shouldn't you be able to just throw the ball around? He's like, no, I don't want you to touch the balls until I arrive. Then you have the freedom. Just the simple thing. Can you imagine back in the late 70s, early 80s, where afros were the end thing, right? Afros and jerry curls for me.
Stay soft, fro, right?
Yeah, right. So can you imagine when we're starting to get our equipment for the football season? Everyone on the team, they had to have their hair cut down to a quarter of an inch. Think about that. That everyone around you is, you know, they have their fro's growing and looking good for the girls, right? If you want to play on this team and if you want to get your equipment, you had to cut your hair to get your equipment. Mm. And there's 2 reasons. I think it was discipline, but also safety, you know, because, you know, at that time they felt the shorter your hair was, you know, your helmet was a little snugger on your head and things like that. And there were guys literally cutting each other's hair in the locker room to be on this team.
You know, some people might say that was then, Pastor Cedric Brown, this is now, times mm-hmm. have changed, the standards have changed, but there is a ring of discipline in, maybe a gong of discipline as you describe mm-hmm. it. But I also have a sense that there is a timelessness in the heart of human beings that yearn for a clear voice, a strong voice, a consistent voice that trusts and does a response that does not have to have everything explained or described because of that trust. and where the direction will be collectively in a place of progress, in a place of of joy, in a place of safety, trusting in the foresight and the wisdom that exudes in that. When we come back from our break, Cedric, let's talk more about, you know, I knew that I couldn't talk to you for about 2 minutes that we were going to start talking about football, that we're going to at least talk about sports. So here we are. Dear one, you're listening to Cedric Brown, Pastor Cedric Brown, founding pastor of Commitment Community Church in Lindenwold, New Jersey. You can find out more about him, his ministry, at commitmentchurch.org. That's commitmentchurch.org. When we come back, we'll talk about, you know, more about football, more about discovering athletic gifts, developing those gifts through opportunities in discipline, like he described, and more, like the NFL. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kayani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Cedric Brown was born and raised the last of eight children in the city of Compton, California, which some have labeled the gang capital of the world. That's also where he began to excel in the game of football. Football became a way of life, a way out of Compton, by landing him at Washington State University, Wazoo. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here. Thank you for joining us. It's a blessing for you and a blessing for us that you take this time to share in this moment here with Cedric Brown. You can get this program in its entirety. Maybe you caught the tail end of the last segment, or maybe you're tuning in right now. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com for a podcast, free podcast, download, share it with a family member or friend. Cedric, how did you become a Christian?
Good question. Well, always like to back people up to move us forward. Well, my father was also a pastor. And so I saw he and my mom live for the Lord courageously and faithfully while raising eight children who weren't always the most obedient. in many instances, and that's another segment, another story to even you know, communicate all they had to endure with eight children, if you can imagine. But I tell people I used to live in a church and sleep in a church, and one time, being a baby of eight children, they actually literally left me in the church. They locked the doors, went home, and forgot I was still there. And not to mention, they come back a couple hours later to pick me up. So, but that still did not mean that I knew Jesus personally. It was in my head, but it was in my heart. I knew of him, but didn't know him. So when I arrived at Washington State University, I was, you know, into the college life, and not necessarily purely for education and athletics. It was also the party life, the party scene on campus. And one day in the Cub, the Compton Union Building, coincidentally, this total stranger walked up to me and started quoting Bible verses and, you know, saying familiar things to me. But he said something to me that, at least for the first time I heard it, he said to me, "If you die today, do you know where you're going?" And I couldn't answer the question, honestly. And I said, no. And at that time, this total stranger led me to Christ. And that literally, brother, was the first and last time I ever seen him. I don't know his name. I don't know what he looks like. I'm assuming maybe one day, when we stand before Jesus or we're in heaven, we'll recognize each other. But that's literally when I came to know Christ. But again, as a baby Christian in that environment, I stumbled, I fell, I, you know, bumped my head and heart, and wasn't completely sold out until I landed at the Philadelphia Eagles, and I had men around me like Reggie White and Alan Reed and some other brothers. Brett Fuller was the chaplain at that time, and they really poured into my life and established a level of discipleship and accountability, and by God's grace, I never looked back.
How did the Lord reveal himself to you with the Philadelphia Eagles?
Well, I believe the turning point was seeing regular men just like me with the same temptations, the same frustrations, live for Jesus with a sincerity and a depth that I never experienced up close. For instance, I can't tell you the first time how I responded the first time one of the guys who were mentoring the disciple, me and the guys on the team, said, "Hey, Cedric, I love you." I'm like, "What? What do you mean? You love me?" You know, and to hear that fond affection come out of a mouth of a man. Remember, you know, probably your father, like mine, was not. They're not part of that generation that really generously said, "Hey, I love you." You knew they loved you. They didn't verbalize it much, but yet to hear a man say, "Cedric, I love you," something tripped in my heart, to the point that I began to reciprocate that to others. You know, other men, "Hey, man, I love you." And we just began to really develop this genuine love for Jesus and love for people that I believe just permeated my life, my heart, the team. There was a revival that occurred on the team. I think it also brought healing in places in my relationship with my father. Like many times we don't have, right? You know, the fond affection and saying you love each other, super important, I believe. Not only knowing that I love you, but communicating I love you. So I literally took that approach back to my father, and eventually me and my dad, you know, we communicate that fondly to each other. I love you. I love you. Kiss each other on the cheek. Now I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. And that then I found out, listen to this, brother, I found out only about 2 years ago at the maximum. My second to oldest sister said this to me. She said, Cedric, do you realize the impact you had on our family? I'm like, what are you talking about? She said to me, the love that you showed Daddy, because Daddy did not say he loved us, but when you started communicating you loved to him, he then started communicating it to all of us. And I just found that out no more than 2 years ago. So I say all of that, you know, again, what ultimately tripped in me was this genuine clarity of the love of Jesus, brother. And as 2 Corinthians 5 talks about, where's the love of Christ that what compels me or controls me?
Yes.
And at that phase of my life, it was what was compelling me, right? Compelling me to live for him, compelling me to tell others about him, and then even getting to a point that now it controls me, right? Self-control comes from my genuine love for Jesus, man, and which then translates into love for others.
You're mentioning this so clearly, strongly, as having emerged out of your time playing for the Philadelphia Eagles under Buddy Ryan. And, I mean, this is Ron Jaworski, Wilbert Montgomery, Harold Carmichael.
They were a little bit of years, a couple of years before me.
Before you?
But I was closer. I was closer to Rando. But I was with Jaworski, Rando, and Reggie, and all of those guys. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, but the love that's emanating from professional football players in that
right
environment. And here we have the love that is translated into your family. That just 2 years ago, your sister describes how it impacted her. Dear friend, as you're listening to Cedric Brown, yes, we talk about sports. Yes, we talk about football. And really, it's a gladiator sport, football. But then we talk about love. Does that not strike you as paradoxical? Is it even possible to love with that kind of love? Well, of course it is. I mean, we have someone that is bearing witness of that love. It is the love of God, the love of Jesus Christ, the love that has transformed this man to the work that he's doing today, which we'll get into when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com, Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special
guests.
So the
Lord was preparing his heart for more work, for specific type of work, a service. You said, Danny, go on. You're being a bit cryptic here. Who you're talking about? What is this? Where is it going? I'm talking about Cedric Brown, who was a defensive back for the Philadelphia Eagles. And these are days where love took on a new meaning for him that translated into his family, translated into his life. His personal life. But he didn't stop there. God didn't stop his work there when he was playing for the Eagles. It led into other work. You know, Cedric Brown's background was in hotel and restaurant management, where he majored at Washington State University, Wazoo. We're going to go back now and talk with Cedric about what happened after the Eagles, what was life like, and how did God call him to the ministry. You can find out more about Cedric Brown at commitmentchurch.org. He's the founding pastor of Commitment Community Church. So, Cedric, take us from God revealing himself to you at the Philadelphia Eagles to the work you did in the corporate world. I'm thinking about places like the Hyatt and Marriott. Take us further. What happened?
Yeah. So as I left the NFL abruptly, which I always tell people, NFL means not for long. and normally you leave when they want you to leave, not when you want to leave. Like anyone, it caught me by surprise when Buddy Ryan called me in office and said that you can play in the league, but you can't play for me anymore. And great shocker. And I, like everyone else, tried to get back in the league, but God just kept closing doors and closing doors and closing doors. And eventually, my wife, in our first couple of years, she said to me, are you going to get a job? And I kind of paused a bit and said, I guess so. And that literally was the first time I ever began to think about someone else other than myself. And I literally just started shifting away from the game into what could then life be outside of football. So started working for at that time, it was the Cherry Hill Hyatt. And then I, like anyone who's left the game, typically you find yourself back in it, or you try to stay connected to it in some way. And I was tempted because so many people said, hey, you could still do this and, you know, still being a young man. I figured, yeah, I could probably do this. So I left that job to try my hand again in the league. I guess God, of course, didn't want me there and shut the door again. So then I left that last fatal attempt of trying to get back in the league, and then pursued a fast food restaurant career. At this time, it was a restaurant called the Roy Rogers, and it was a part of the Marriott Corporation. And stayed there for about a year. At that time, Joshua was born. And I was working so many hours that every time I would come home, he'll be asleep. And eventually that just took a toll in my heart. And I just began to ask the Lord, there has to be a different pathway, you know, to making a living for my family. So lo and behold, I got a call out of the blue from a corporation called Alcoa, the Aluminum Company of America, in their building products division. And they offered me a job, and I took it and started as the low man of the totem pole, if you would, in Virginia, which relocated us in Virginia. And I actually reconnected with Brett Fuller. And at that time, he was an associate pastor of a church. And so the Lord brought us back together in the Virginia, D.C. area. And so which was, I think it was just God doing some amazing things there. And this was the transition of when Brett was becoming a lead pastor there. And so there was transition in his life, transition in my life. And God began to just give me favor in this industry and with this company. And within probably about a year, maybe a little bit over a year, after our second child was born, our daughter, I got a promotion opportunity. And that opportunity was to bring me back to the Philly, Jersey area. We didn't want to leave because we were part of a wonderful church down there with Brett. It was a multi-ethnic church where our heart was, even back then, before multi-ethnic churches was the in thing, I like to say, affectionately. But my wife and I prayed, and we said, okay, God, the only reason why we will relocate is that there has to be ministry for us wherever we go. And what you believe, the Lord had a close friend of mine that I've known now, shucks, or close to 40 years, John Karras, called me out of the blue and said, hey, Cedric, some of your former teammates out here, they're asking for you to lead the Bible study for them. So think about that now. The role is reversing. Simultaneously, God is blessing my business career. He's now opening a ministry door for me. So I literally came back to the Jersey area, Philly, Jersey area, to receive the promotion and then start being, if you would, the chaplain for the Eagles and leading their Bible study every week, and but then also doing the corporate life in sales, which I, just to tell you for the record, I knew nothing about sales at all. All I knew about was developing relationships and trusting God. And God just showed me great favor, and I began to continue to grow in the organization and climb the corporate ladder, as you would say, and you know, became a what was called a district sales manager, then became a new construction sales manager, which covered more geographical area, then eventually became a regional manager. And again, simultaneously, I am still doing ministry, and then probably year number six in this business career, God starts stirring my heart about becoming a pastor. And I felt that it wasn't to be connected to the Eagles, because I believe he wanted his name on the church rather than the team's name on the church. And I resigned from serving the team, and two of the players, Mark Woodard and Mike Flores, said, well, hey, wherever God's telling you to go, I'm going. So we started this other Bible study that eventually led to Commitment Church. So I was bivocational with Commitment and working for Alcoa for 9 years. So now this is year 15 with Alcoa. At this time now, I'm managing 33 states, three time zones, and $500 million of sales from New Jersey down to Florida to Hawaii, never got there, to Alaska, never got there either. But that was the geographical areas that God gave me to serve. Literally, I felt God gave me at that time two churches to serve in corporate America and also within, of course, the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. And God did some amazing, I can't tell you, brother, some amazing things, not only professionally, meaning blessing the works of my hands and blessing the works of the hands of my people, that I led, but also ministry in corporate America that was supernatural and amazing, that still today I have some of the blessings and fruits from it, that I stay in contact with some of my salesmen, regional managers, president of the company and things like that, to the point that I had the opportunity to lead one of the executive vice presidents to the Lord after my exit from the company. And so I can go on, but that's kind of like the summary of it all after football. And it's just been an amazing journey. And again, about year 15, I walked away from a wonderful six-figure income, you know, hefty bonuses every year, company car every 2 years, unlimited, you know, expense account. And in the midst of, I think, the worst time I could, because our youngest daughter was diagnosed with epilepsy, and it was almost like the worst time. The waters were overflowing the banks, and it wasn't the right time for me to cross the Jordan. But yet I just saw God do amazing things as we stepped into the water. He began to part the water before us, and here we are, you know, all these years later, and God's been so gracious to us.
You're listening to Cedric Brown. Cedric Brown, the former Philadelphia Eagle cornerback for the NFL, former corporate executive, illustrious careers, and the pastor of a church. He talked about relationships. He not so much sales. He says he knew how to do relationships. You can just tell by listening to him that he's the kind of person that everyone wants to be his friend. Why? Because it's not just about him. His focus is on others. But that emanates because his focus is on God. God has taken hold of his heart. And my friend today, our friend, dear one, you, as you're listening to Cedric Brown, make no mistake, this is not just some chance moment that you happen to be listening, happen to be hearing a podcast or turning the dial on your radio. Is there something compelling you to listen? Something that touched your heart? Something that moves you? Something that overlaps with your life? Well, we know that it's the work of God through the Holy Spirit drawing you to Jesus. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kayani Team Aloha, has seen Kayani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kayani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kayani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
It is the convergence of athletic ability, athletic prowess, business, family, faith. centered in the person of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about none other than Cedric Brown, pastor of Commitment Community Church. He's the author of a number of books, Influencing Your World, The Racial and Cultural Divide, Act Like a Man, and My Daily Business. You can find out more at commitmentchurch.org. Invite Cedric Brown. Get a hold of his books. Share about the marvelous ministry the Lord has and is working through this mighty, mighty man of God. Cedric, I would be remiss if I did not ask, where did you meet Lisa?
I met Lisa one off season. I think it was after my second year. I was back home and I was out with a childhood friend and saw her from a distance, and the rest was history. And literally, brother, we saw each other. I like to tell this part of the story. So we saw each other about three times. And if you include the first time I saw her, she came out to visit me in Philly. I came back when we were on strike, I think it was 1987. And we may have been with each other for probably a total of 3 weeks. Within an 11-month period of time, and we were married. I just knew in my heart, because I don't know if about you, but as a single man, it was almost like a single man who was trying his best to walk with Jesus, that void of being, you know, one with someone was like, God, you know, where is she? Right. And lo and behold, I went back and saw her, and yeah, there's more details in it. She probably has her own version, but but I saw her I got her number, like a good guy would do, and she played a little possum for a bit, wouldn't answer the call, but eventually did, and we were together for about a week. Went back to Philly, and again, one time she came to visit me for a week. I was there back in California for a week, and in the midst of an 11-month period of time, I said, I want you to be my wife. And she, thank God, said yes. And it's been 34 years now.
34 years.
Thank God. 34 years, man. And it's better with time. It takes work, absolutely. And I tell anyone, we would tell anyone, listen, anyone, if you want a healthy, vibrant marriage, it's going to take work, which means you must die to yourself. And I always describe this to couples when I'm doing premarital counseling. I say, can you imagine someone walking down the street with two heads, four eyes, two noses, you know, four ears, four arms? You'll look and say, man, something's wrong there. You know, that's not a healthy body chemistry there. I said, that's how many times we try to live marriage. Living marriage is, I'm going to keep all of me. But as you know, for two to become one, some part of you must go. And part of that painful process, you know, it's the cutting away of what you think you need to keep in this marriage. But yet, God is the only one who knows what is best of you to keep in this marriage. And what he does so divinely is keep the best of both of you and make you better, you know. But you must go through that phantom pain, you know.
Cedric,
you start losing.
This is what I want. As you're talking about marriage, you're talking about pains, transitions. This, I think, would be a good moment because people are listening. A dear one may be in a marriage that's having a moment of difficulty. These are just difficult times, broadly, in which people are living. So would you share I want you to pray for our listener. but maybe
yes, well,
even in your prayer, a time where you and Lisa had some trouble, and if you could sort of transfer that and relate that to a listener and intercede for that dear one in this critical moment in their life. Would you do that?
Amen. Amen. Father, at the end of the day, there's a place reserved in our hearts as men and women, husband and wives, only reserved for you, Jesus. And the temptation in marriage is that I want to dethrone you on the heart of my wife, and she wants to dethrone you in my own heart. And Lord, there's this tension over and over again because we want to be first. We want to be first. But God, but it's not until you become, as Colossians 1 talks about, first place in everything, then it seems to be, it is when you then allow us to have that safe, healthy place in a heart of a husband and a heart of a wife that supernaturally makes us one. And God, I pray in the name of Jesus that how selfish and self-centered we can always be, as that husband needs and desires to be respected by his wife, and that wife needs to be desperately loved by her husband, and they're not getting it from each other. God, I pray in the name of Jesus they will lean in to you and your love for them, and that you will fill the void that only you can and their husband or spouse, wife can never fill, that no other created thing could ever fill that place in which you belong. So God, I pray that they will just release this control and just rest in falling deeply in love with you like never before. And then they will begin to receive the love that they need and the respect that they need from each other, that they will die to themselves, be crucified with Christ. And nevertheless, it's not they that live, but it's Christ that lives within them. And this life that they live by faith in the Son of God who loved them and gave his very life for them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Cedric, thank you so much for your prayer and the tenderness of your heart. There's that level of sensitivity that can only come through experience. I'm also wanting to be sensitive to someone today who, like you, has been waiting for that one person that God would have for them. And they've waited a long time. They've experienced temptations in various ways. You know what it's like. You also know what it's like to see and experience God's provision. Would you also say a short prayer for that dear friend or brother or sister in Christ right now?
Yeah. Father, again, the challenge is always that we want and we think we need someone other than you. We don't, honestly. And God, I the scriptures are very clear as for a woman, it says a man who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. And I pray that that woman will rest in you and let him find her rather than she going on the hunt for him. But that she will know that you are her husband and her maker. But Lord, I pray for that man that as he can trust you with his life, he can then trust you for a wife. That he, as he completely surrender to you and again, make you first place, Lord, the temptations, the frustrations, the disappointments, even in attempted and failed relationships, Lord, will begin to subside. And because they're now so invested in you and serving you and seeking first your kingdom and your righteousness, and your promise is all these things will be added unto you. And God, I really believe marriage is also part of all of these things. So God, I pray for that man or that woman that they would be so in pursuit of you that you would then some way, somehow allow them to have that husband that will love her and as Christ loved the church and gave his very life for her, and to respect and honor him as unto the Lord, and their marriage will last the test of time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Cedric Brown, Pastor Cedric Brown, pastor of Commitment Community Church. You can find out more about him, his ministry, his books, his speaking. You can invite him, find out more at commitmentchurch.org. Pastor, thank you. Thank you for sharing your precious time with us, opening your heart, sharing your life. Thank you.
My pleasure. My pleasure, brother. It's a joy being here and just sharing pieces of my life because, man, God has been so faithful. You know, my wife and I, Lisa and I, we just sit back and just revel in the faithfulness of God from, as we stated, how we met through the tough times, through the difficulties of life. And listen, they never end. They never end, you know, but yet, you know, being able to trust in his unshakable love, man, mm-hmm. and to know that we have an unshakable kingdom with an unshakable king in Jesus, man, and just gives us hope beyond measure. We cannot lose sight of Acts 1:7 and Acts 1:8 being connected. Right, we know that Jesus said in Acts 1:8, you know, that he is, when we receive power and the Holy Spirit comes upon us, right, to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the world. But never disconnect verse 7, and this is something, again, holding on to his kingdom principle, is that verse 7 says, don't concern yourself with the times and their epochs. That's for the Father to be concerned with. But you receive power to go be my witnesses. And that's part of the unshakable kingdom, man, is that be about the kingdom work and going to our Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and seeing people from all nations, tribes, and tongues come to know Jesus, especially during the times we live in today. Amen.
That's right. Amen. Inspiring words from Cedric Brown, commitmentchurch.org. Your friend, God's timing is perfect. And there's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, look, I believe this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Would you do that? Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special presentation for you there. If you'd like to stand with us with your prayers or your support to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click donate, and I thank you in advance. 1 Corinthians 16:13, be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be strong. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Cedric Brown, commitmentchurch.org. Until next time, along with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai, and web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.